We're going to read Philippians 2, verse 1 to 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, please would you open up your word to us now. Help us to understand something of the beauty of the Lord Jesus. And would it cause us to worship him all the more? We ask it in his name. Amen. A few years ago, I was working for an electronics company as a purchasing assistant. Now, that meant I was bottom of the pile. I really was bottom of the pile. Most companies work something like this. They work on a kind of pyramid scale. So the more important people, the managers, the CEO, they're right up at the top. And then the lower down you get, the less important you are, the less money you get paid. And I remember one time a diagram like this was emailed out to all the employees in the company. And as you scroll down the list, you keep scrolling. There I was, right at the bottom. In fact, I think I was on my own level. That's how low down I was on this diagram. I didn't like it. I didn't like that diagram at all. No one wants to be at the bottom. And that's why normally a career is all about climbing up the pyramid, trying to get higher up, trying to have a higher value, a higher responsibility, a higher salary. That's pyramid thinking. And it's not just in the workplace. Actually, pyramid thinking affects all sorts of areas of our lives. We always want to be the best. We want to have the best. We want to get to the top. Pyramid thinking. And pyramid thinking has no place in church. It has no place in church. If we are going to live in joyful gospel partnership, we need a change of mindset. We need to flip pyramid thinking upside down. So the goal for this morning is to go from pyramid thinking to gospel thinking. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul shows us a mindset to have and a model to follow. So let's start with a mindset to have. Just a reminder, Paul is writing to a group of first century Christians who live in a place called Philippi. That's why it's called Philippians. But what he says to them has great relevance for us today. So last week we began to see what it looks like to live as citizens of heaven, to live as those who are worthy of the gospel of Christ. It means withstanding pressure from outside of the church. So we saw it looks like standing firm in the gospel, striving together for the gospel, and suffering together for the gospel. It means withstanding pressure from outside the church. But what about the inside? What does it look like to live as citizens of heaven in our relationships with each other? You see, Paul is talking to Christians. These are people who have tasted some of the sweetness of the gospel. So look at verse 1. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, the Philippians had tasted those things. They knew the inner comfort and encouragement that comes from being united to Christ. Together they shared in his Holy Spirit. And what they felt on the inside overflowed in their actions, so in tenderness and compassion. These are the first fruits of the gospel. This is the evidence of true spiritual life. And Paul says, if you have tasted the sweetness of the gospel, then here's how to live with each other. Verse 2. If you've got these things, verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Unity. Together as one. That's what makes Paul's joy complete, when Christians are united in heart, mind and soul, focused on the same things, driven by the same desires, working for the same priorities. Now, it's not that Christians should all be exactly the same. We've all got our different personalities and preferences and ways of doing things, and that's a really good thing. We're not robots. But Paul's desire for a local church is that Christians within a local church should all be on the same page, that we should have a shared mindset. So what is this mindset that we're supposed to share? What is this way of thinking that is going to enable us to live together in unity? Well, it's described in verse 3 and 4. Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In our sinful selfishness, we're always trying to climb up that pyramid. But living worthy of the gospel means flipping pyramid thinking upside down. And there are some do's and some don'ts. So the don'ts are there in verse 3. The don'ts are selfish ambition or vain conceit. Those are the two things to avoid. Selfish ambition is all about trying to get myself to the top of the pyramid, doing everything I can to climb higher up. And it's ugly. Selfish ambition has no problem treading on others if it lifts me up. And we could talk about selfish ambition in lots of different areas of life. But I want to focus here on how it shows up in church, because that's Paul's concern in these verses. He is talking to Christians. He's talking about relationships that Christians have with other Christians. And he says, don't come to church with your climbing shoes on. It is possible to come to church looking for power, looking for status, looking for recognition. Perhaps in the way that we serve, we do things so that we are seen, or so that we are heard, or so that people think we're good. Perhaps our desire is for reputation. So-and-so is really good at that. Maybe it's applause. We like to be thanked, and we like it when people notice. Maybe our ambition is to have a leadership role in some way in church life. The Bible says that he who desires to be an elder desires a noble task. So it's a good thing, but it is possible to want the good things for the wrong reasons. Our end goal should not be to have a role or to have influence or for people to hear our voice. Our end goal should not be that we are well known or well liked. Some of those things might come. But if that is our focus, then that's pyramid thinking. It's selfish ambition, trying to climb to the top. Selfish ambition asks, what's better for me? How can I get higher? And if selfish ambition is about trying to get to the top of the pyramid, vain conceit is thinking that I'm already at the top, thinking I'm higher up than I really am. It's empty pride. Vain conceit thinks I'm more important than other people. Selfish ambition is climbing to get higher than people, and vain conceit is looking down on people. I'm more valuable to the church than that person or that person. My voice is more important. My opinion is more important. We'd never say that, right? Because that's ugly. That's horrible. But is it how we think? Pyramid thinking, it shows up when we make judgments on people. One of the ways that we do this is when we value someone and we put them on a scale either above or below ourselves. We're always judging people. We judge people by the way that they look, by the clothes that they wear, how much money they earn. And we could do this even in church. We're always kind of putting people on this ladder scale, this pyramid scale. This person is above or below me in some way. Perhaps in our pride, we look down on people if they are, or they're less knowledgeable than us. They're less mature than us, less gifted than us. Even when we see people's sin and failing and weakness, isn't it a horrible thing when sometimes it kind of makes us feel a little bit good? Because you think, well, at least I don't do that. At least I'm not like that. And we put ourselves above them and we look down on them.
Behavior.
That's right, in the way that people behave.
Behavior.
That's right, and we can always look down on, well, this person's doing this, or this person's doing this, or that person's parenting their children in that way. And so we say, well, I'm better than that, or I'm worse than that. And we put ourselves on this pyramid scale. We massage our ego and we make ourselves think that we're more valuable than we really are. That's what vain conceit is, and it's pyramid thinking. Pyramid thinking is going to always affect the way that we behave in church life. It will affect who we choose to sit with, who we talk to, who we eat with, who we invite round to our house and spend time socially with. Vain conceit is thinking too highly of ourselves. Selfish ambition is trying to get ourselves even higher. And Paul says, don't do it. That's not the right mindset. Instead, there's a flip side. So we've had the don'ts, but what about the do's? Second half of verse 3. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Do you see how that flips pyramid thinking upside down? Instead of doing everything you can to get above people, instead of thinking that you are above people, do the opposite. Put others above yourself. Consider others as more important than yourself. Pyramid thinking puts me higher than you, and gospel thinking puts you higher than me. That's what humility is. Humility isn't self-pity. It's not, oh yeah, I know I'm not really worth anything. I'm rubbish. Humility isn't false modesty. It's not saying, no, I'm no good at anything. Humility isn't weakness. Actually, humility is a strong commitment to serving other people as more important than ourselves. Or another way of putting it, verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Not looking out for number one, but looking out for numbers 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on. This is the attitude that we have as parents in our better moments. So if you're a parent, you might recognize this in your better moments. I have great respect for my wife as a mum, because her whole life, night and day, is committed to the interest of others. You would never choose to get up at that time. You would never choose to watch that movie or to eat that meal or to do that activity or to have that holiday. But you do it anyway. You do it because you're putting your children's interests above your own. You're valuing them as more important than yourself. And that kind of attitude that we might have in our better moments for our wife or for our husband or for our children, that selfless attitude of what's more important, what's better for you, what's more important for you, that attitude, Paul says, take that attitude that you have for your family and apply it to every single member, not just of your physical family, but of your church family. That same selfless commitment to serving each other, to look out for the interests of others. I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to bend over backwards for the good of others. I'm going to put my interests and my preferences right down the list. Now, maybe there are things that happen in church life here at Silver Street and it annoys you a bit. And if you had it your way, you wouldn't choose to do it that way. Pyramid thinking thinks, what's better for me? And gospel thinking says, what's better for others? You know, this is a beautiful system, because if everyone has this attitude, then no one goes wanting. If I look out for you and you look out for me, then everyone's being looked out for. Can you imagine what a beautiful community we will be if we have this mindset? Wouldn't it be good if in every conversation that we had today, after the service, over lunch, every conversation we were thinking, I'm going to value this person as more important than me. They're going to be above me on the pyramid. It's more important than that I hear about how their week has been than it is for me to talk about how mine was. I want to see if there is any way that I can help this person rather than just trying to see what they can do for me. This kind of mindset, it does start with a mindset. It starts with the way that we think, but it will always affect the way that we act and behave. It will affect things like who gets to the front of the queue for pudding this afternoon. Yeah? Yeah. If everyone actually listens to this sermon, then no one's ever going to have any pudding because we'll just be after you. But it will affect physical things. It will affect what choices we make on even stuff like that. It will affect what we talk about in the conversations we have over coffee. Am I going to talk about something that makes me look good and tell a story that puts me in a good light? Or will I choose to talk about something that will build up my brothers and sisters? It will affect the way that we talk. Will I dominate a conversation? Or am I going to value that someone else's voice is just as important as mine? More important than mine? Am I going to hang out with the people that I know and like and make me feel good about myself? Or will I talk to the people who are on the fringes? Verse 4. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This is the mindset to have. This is how we're going to live together in unity. No climbing shoes in church. If we all commit to serving each other, we'll live in wonderful harmony together. So this is something for everyone. It only works if everyone's doing this. It's something for everyone. So Paul says in verse 4, each of you look to the interests of others. That's gospel thinking. That's the mindset to have. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. As we think like this and as we live like this, we're actually following in some pretty big footsteps. So let's move now from the mindset to have to the model to follow. That's the second thing, the model to follow. Here is someone who perfectly displays what gospel thinking looks like. Someone who flips the pyramid upside down. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time together looking at the beauty of Jesus and seeing how he did this and learning from his example. These wonderful verses are favourites for lots of us, I'm sure. And they're filled with this imagery of high and low, of up and down. And it starts with Jesus coming down the pyramid, coming from high to low. And in fact, to illustrate this, I've got a balloon. I wondered what that was all about. This balloon is going to start at the top. I thought it was going to go up to the other bit where I couldn't have got it. There you go, the balloon is now on the ceiling. And this balloon is going to represent something of what Jesus is and what Jesus does. So that's where it starts, right at the top of the ceiling. It can't get any higher because that's where Jesus belongs. Jesus starts at the highest point of the pyramid. Look how he's described in verse 6. Jesus, being in very nature God. This is who he is. Jesus is God. He's not just close to God, not just nearly God. He is equal with God because he is God. The balloon can get no higher than that. I guess it could if it goes up there. But you get the point. It's at the top of the ceiling. It couldn't get any higher than that. And that's what it is for Jesus because he is in the highest place. You can't get higher than God. He's not the first created being. He is the creator. He's not just a prophet of God, or a teacher about God, he is God. Before he ever took on a human body, before he ever appeared in time on earth, he has always existed as the eternal Son of God, the highest place. He belongs right at the top of the pyramid. Do you know, you can never think too highly of Jesus. It's impossible. You can't think too highly of Jesus. He's the highest that there is. Yesterday, you may have noticed, there was a royal wedding yesterday. And in preparation for this, I got really into it, actually. I was really ashamed of myself. I sat down and I watched it with Riz, and I found things coming out of my mouth that I didn't understand. I said things like, oh yeah, I do like the dress. It's nice and simple, isn't it? I don't even know myself anymore. Who are you? Anyway, in preparation for the royal wedding, Rhys loves all that kind of thing. So we watched a royal movie this week together. It's called Victoria and Abdul. You might have seen it. And it's about Queen Victoria back in the 1870s when she was the highest power in the whole world. At that point, the British Empire was the biggest empire there's ever been, covering millions of square miles across Africa and Asia and America, Australasia, more. Queen Victoria could do whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted to. Everyone else was below her, and everyone else looked up to her. There is no higher power. But next to Jesus, the most powerful kings, queens, and presidents are a tiny speck of dust. He is the highest power. Jesus has all power, all knowledge, all wisdom. He can do anything at any time in any way. So what does he choose to do? Verse 6 goes on. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. No selfish ambition. Jesus could have stayed as the big boss in his penthouse suite, and it would have been lovely. He could have stayed at the top of the pyramid and everything would have been great. But he didn't. He didn't use his power and his status for selfish gain. Instead, verse 7, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. How humble. How beautiful. God himself made himself a human servant. The Most High One who belongs up here came down and he came down and he came down and he became a low one. Jesus, who is God, made himself a human servant. He gave up his place. He gave up his position. He gave up his privileges. He did not become less than God, but he chose to conceal his divine nature by taking on human flesh. The Eternal One stepped into time. The Powerful One took on weakness. The Limitless One took on limitations. God became man. And not just man, but a servant. Queen Victoria had servants of different ranks. Many servants. Servants all over the place. You couldn't move for servants. Servants to get her out of bed. Servants to dress her. Servants to cook for her. Servants just to stand around in case she needed anything. And the film tells the story of a guy called Abdul, who was sent from India to present a gift to the Queen. And from the moment that he arrives, he's told exactly where he belongs. Low of the low, bottom of the pile. You're a servant. You can't even turn your back on Queen Victoria. You can't talk to her. You can't make any eye contact with her because she's at the top of the pyramid and you're at the bottom of the pyramid, and that's how a pyramid works. She's high, you're low. But Jesus, the Most High, came down low, not simply as a human. That would be astonishing enough. But he came as a servant. Our Lord Jesus, the one who belongs at the top of the pyramid, he is the one who, after dinner, got down on his knees and did the lowest of humble servant tasks that there was, as he washed the filthy feet of his disciples. It's amazing. That image, the washing of his disciples' feet, was a picture of what Jesus was about to go and do. Because actually it got even lower than that. Verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, he lowered himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Isn't that astonishing? God on a cross. The cross was a torture instrument. It was a cursed death reserved for the lowest of the low. And as Jesus died on that cross, he bore shame and he bore ridicule from those around him who thought that he was worthless, that he had no value at all. And as Jesus died, he bore the anger of God against sin. He bore the anger of God against my selfishness and my pride, which is all about myself, and which gives birth to all of the disgusting sins that ruin my life. Jesus took that on himself and he paid the price. The Most High became the Most Low. And he did this. Notice in those verses, no one forced him to do this. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself. He became obedient all the way up to death. He obeyed the Father's plan right up to the point of death. The balloon could not get any lower. In fact, if we could go underground, we would, because that's where Jesus ended up. You can't get any lower than a grave. This is the mindset of Christ. This is the model to follow. But it's not the end of the story. In fact, being low is a good place to be, because God lifts the low high. Verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. This balloon goes right back up to the ceiling. God exalted him to the highest place. Because of Jesus' humility, because of Jesus' selfless obedience to the Father's will, because Jesus completed the salvation plan, he was not left in the low place. God raised Jesus up from the grave. And when Jesus returned to heaven, how did he go? Do you remember? He went up into the sky. He went up, up, up and away until he was out of sight. Why? Is it because that's where heaven is, some physically? That's where heaven is, up there somewhere? No, it was just a sign. It was God saying to everyone who was watching, I'm raising this Jesus up to the highest place. Up, up, up to the highest place where he will have the highest name. Yesterday, Meghan Markle became... I really loved it. Yesterday, Meghan Markle became Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Sussex. It's a great title. Above every duchess, above every company CEO, above every empress of the British Empire, above every president of the United States, above every title there is one title which is above them all. It's the title Lord. And it belongs to Jesus. The risen, ascended, exalted Lord Jesus is lifted up on high. It doesn't make him any more God than he already was. He was already God. But now, as he is lifted up, as he is raised up, he is on display for all to see that he is the one who belongs at the top of the pyramid. And now he reigns from the highest place, on the highest throne, with the highest name. And one day, we will all be down low in front of him. Did you notice that? Verse 10. He is up high, but we will be bent over in front of him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Everyone, all angels, all demons, all humans will be low down before the Most High. Our knees will be on the floor and our tongues will be speaking his name. Verse 11. Every tongue acknowledge that this Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, if you've never bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus, if you've never called him Lord, one day you will. Maybe you are stubborn, you're determined, I don't want to be knocked off the top of my pyramid. One day you will. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess his name as Lord. And if you leave it till that day, it will be too late. You will bow the knee and you will confess his name, but you'll do it with fear and then you'll be cast out forever. But if you humble yourself and bow the knee now, then when you, on that day you bow the knee again, it will be with joy and you will be welcomed in forever. This is our Lord Jesus, the Most High, who took himself to the lowest place and God lifted him up to the highest place. And that's the mindset of Christ. That's the model to follow. Pyramid thinking wants to get myself up as high as possible. But gospel thinking goes the other way. To follow Jesus, you have to go low. But low is a good place to be, because God lifts the low high. That was true for Jesus, and it will be true for us. We don't need to worry about climbing up the pyramid, because one day Jesus will return and he will lift us up to join him in the highest place. Another royal wedding comment. What a privilege it must have been to be invited to the royal wedding yesterday. Imagine being invited particularly to the reception. What an honour. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus' disciples are trying to grab a seat on the top table of Jesus' party. They said, please, you know, give us the good seats. Can we have the ones right next to you? And this is how Jesus responds. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He is the model we follow. His is the mindset to have. And that's how we can be united together in joyful gospel partnership. As it says in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We praise you for his humility. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came down from the most high place. We thank you that you humbled yourself to become a man, to be a servant, to die on the cross. And we praise you that we can come to you now as the risen Lord Jesus, as the ascended Lord Jesus, as the exalted Lord Jesus, the reigning Lord Jesus, the one who is in the highest place. Forgive us, please, for when we forget that you are in the highest place. Forgive us when we try and be on the top of the pyramids. Forgive us when, even in church life, we come to try and climb that pyramid up. Help us rather to follow the example of Jesus and in humility value others above ourselves. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.